This is a production of Money Honey Media. All advice in this podcast is general in nature. It should not be applied to your personal circumstances without first discussing with a tax professional.
Hi, I'm Jane McCauley.
And I'm Deanne Baranoff.
Welcome to the Accidental Bookkeeper NDIS podcast, where we have fun unpacking the boring but necessary things you need to know to run your NDIS business. Now, this podcast is brought to you by our plan management business called Open Plan Management. And welcome, Dee, to our first NDIS podcast.
Thanks, Jo. It's nice to be here.
That's good. Okay, well, why are we doing a podcast? I think this was important. We thought we better tell you why we're doing an NDIS podcast. So where do you want to start?
How about the fact that we're a new NDIS business?
I think that's a great place to start. Yeah. So, I mean, as probably many of you know who have been listening to the podcast for a while, we are tax accountants, and I guess we will talk about that in a minute. But we have decided to start a NDIS plan management business, and it's called Opal Plan Management, and these podcasts will be brought to you by Opal Plan Management. And so we sort of thought while we're learning about being a new NDIS business, we could help other businesses, not necessarily plan managers, to learn to be businesses too. Do you think so?
Yes, we can.
So from my observation, there's a lot of unique challenges about being an NDIS business. It's a very growing area. We deal with a few clients who are businesses, don't we, Dee?
Yes, we do. Yes, several that have NDIS participants.
Yep, that's right. So, and we have seen that some of them are going really well and others are probably not going so well. So, so that's what we thought. And we are also going to be learning along the way.
We are.
Okay. So, Dee, I know you've brought some notes, and you might help explain a little bit about the NDIS for those who, because I know some people will be listening to this who are not NDIS businesses but just regular listeners to our podcast, and we don't want to turn them away. We thought it'd probably be good for them to learn about the NDIS business world and also potentially how maybe they might even be able to join in if it's relevant, don't you think?
Yes, they could. So I've just got some quick descriptions of the main players in the NDIS world. The first one are the providers, and they deliver the supports and services that help the participants pursue their goals. The first one are providers, and they deliver the supports and services that help the participants pursue their goals. Then there's us, who are the plan managers. You can choose to use a plan manager, and we provide, we help the provider to manage their funding and their budget for the supports that are in their plan. Mm-hmm. Then there's support coordinators, and they are the actual people that will help the participant implement the supports that are in their plan. Mm-hmm. And then we've got local area coordinators, and they have local knowledge of the different services that are available in the local community for the participants, and they generally work with people that are aged 9 and over. And then we also have early childhood partners, which are very, very similar to the local area coordinators, but they deal with young children.
Yeah, cool. So it's a bit of a minefield out there, isn't it? Because, like, even for us to learn how to do this, it took a fair bit of time and effort just to even get registered, really, didn't we?
It did, over 12 months.
Yeah. And do you have to be registered to be an NDIS provider?
No, you don't. You can be an unregistered provider. There's, benefits to being a registered provider, so they can demonstrate that they've met the quality safeguards and requirements to be registered. They can also provide supports for people that are NDIA managed, whereas a non-registered provider can't.
And that's why people tend to have a plan manager. If they want to use non-registered providers, they can't do that as if they're managed through the NDIA, and the alternative is self-managed.
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah, so you can be self-managed, and obviously a lot of people are, but not everyone has the time or the understanding to do their own self-management, as far as I can see. But if you are plan managed, like using someone like Opal as a plan manager, the cost of that is funded as part of your plan, so it doesn't cost you anything to do that. Obviously we get paid to do it, but it's not taking it
not
away
from you. That's
yeah,
right.
Not from you. Exactly. All right. So, what were we going to talk about next? We were sort of, just for those people who might be new to this podcast because it is NDIS, we thought we would just mention a little bit about our podcast that we have. So we've been running this podcast for quite some time now, The Accidental Bookkeeper, and there's now, we've broken it up into a few different sections now. So for this year, on Mondays we do, or I do, a podcast that's just me talking about the weekly wrap. So that's talking about all sorts of business stories, not just NDIS business stories. I go through all the papers and all the stories and try to break them down to find some interesting stories to keep you on your toes about what's happening in the business world. So if you would like to tune into that on a Monday, I would love you to do that. And then on Fridays, we're having a couple of different ones. So it's every 3 weeks, we'll cycle through them. So one of those is the NDIS. So every 3 weeks, we'll do an NDIS podcast, Dee and I.
You get to listen to us.
You get to listen to us every 3 weeks. And on the other ones, there'll be an advisory podcast, so sort of things that are probably not so tax related. And then the other one will be probably more of a compliance tax related podcast. So they're our table of knowledge podcasts, we call them. So we'd love you to listen into those. And yeah, that's pretty much what we wanted to say about this new podcast. All right. So what do you think the challenges are of running an NDIS business, Dee? Because I know you work with them all the time. So
I do work with some.
Yeah.
It's a complex system and it's very confusing, and at the moment it's always changing.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in that world at the moment where, you know, we've seen Bill Shorten come out and talk about the fact that there's been a review, which we'll talk about in a minute, but... You know, there's a bit of uncertainty. There's a lot of press related about it. We hear of some providers that are not doing the right thing, and I think that's pulling a lot of people who are doing the right thing into the same realm and making it more complicated. As an NDIS business, I think it makes it a little bit difficult just to navigate what's going on, in all honesty.
I think so.
And what about the fact that we've noticed that some of them grow really quickly?
Yes, they do. So they often are people that are involved in NDIS areas, and they can see that there's a need for a particular service, and they jump in and they have a go and they grow very quickly.
And then what does that sometimes cause?
They can't keep up in their business.
No. So there's one major thing that I've noticed with any business, doesn't matter if it's NDIS, when it grows rapidly, that always causes cash flow problems. But I feel like in this NDIS space, we're seeing more businesses that are really starting to feel that pressure because they're probably not they're not necessarily business owners and don't have that mindset of how to run a business. Have you noticed that too, Dee?
Yes, I have.
Little things like even just keeping up to date with your accounts can be
very challenging. Yes, their coding of their accounts, keeping up to date with their wages and their super obligations.
And what happens when you don't do that? You're basically putting yourself at risk of not being in business anymore.
That's correct.
Yeah, so that's one of the things we're trying to help you with, is to not have, well, you know, probably just to give you a bit of education on what you should be doing. But then we also see that some NDIS businesses are going incredibly well. And I guess if you're doing really well, where to go next, you know? One of the other things I'm finding is a bit of an issue at the moment, particularly with staff shortages and wage rises. I mean, we've been through it. We know the cost of living's going up. The thing with NDIS services is they're a fixed amount.
They are. There's a big price guide booklet, and that's what you've got to charge.
Yeah, so you don't have the option to say, well, you know, this is what the price is, but I'm going to charge double, or I'm going to put a 30% increase on that. That's not really possible. So it means that it's kind of helpful from a planning perspective, I guess, because you know what your income is going to be, particularly if you're sort of offering a regular service. But it does also mean, if you're hiring people and then they are expecting more wages because there's a shortage of people, I just think that's something that can be really detrimental to business when they can't really control their costs as well as, but when there's a stable income line.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's probably all those sorts of things that we're going to try and address for you and help you with. What are we not going to do, Dee?
We're not going to tell you how to rip off the participants or the government.
No, that's right. So I know there's a lot of talk about people who don't do the right thing in the NDIS space.
And in normal business as well, so.
Well, that's right, yeah. But I think NDIS kind of gets highlighted a little bit more, probably because there are people out there who aren't doing the right thing. And
they see an opportunity and they think they can rort it.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not going to be helping you to do that. So if you're thinking that you're coming into our podcast so that we can tell you how to make more money by ripping off other people, that ain't going to happen. So, you know, we are after genuine providers who want to learn how to run their businesses better, and that's what we want to do. So, all right. Now, I think this is the first podcast, so it's going to be a pretty short one. We're not expecting it to go for hours, but we just thought as part of our podcast, we will look at some of the things that might be happening in the news to try and keep you abreast of them. In saying that, there's a lot in the news, but we can't catch up on the last however many years of NDIS news. So we just thought we'd bring you a couple of things that are going on at the moment. The first one is one of the big providers of software has gone into liquidation just in the last week.
They have. They're called Good Human.
Yeah. So apparently they provide a lot of services to support, like coordinators and booking. I'm not really sure what the product does, but, it's a big provider apparently. They've gone into liquidation, so I'm not sure what will happen with that. I did search their website to see if there was anything on there. It's still up there. It's still available. You can still make an inquiry about buying their product. But, yeah, apparently the business has not gone particularly well. A lot of staff have not been paid.
Their wages or their super, like we were discussing.
Yeah, exactly. And they have been put into liquidation. So if you are using Good Human, you might want to reach out to them and find out what's going on there and see. You know, it'll probably be absorbed into some other provider. That would be my guess.
Possibly.
Yeah, I think it would be unlikely that they would just, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I just thought we'd highlight that. Now, the other thing that obviously the big news story in the last couple of months has been the NDIS review. Have you looked into it too much, Dee?
Not a lot, but I do know that you're going to the conference on the 26th of March.
Yeah, I am. So there was 26 key recommendations. I know there's a lot of different recommendations in there. Some of them are in regard to registration processes, particularly I think there's probably great merit in all of them. I just need to really deep dive into it, which is what I intend to do at that conference. But you know, at the moment there are quite the number of non-registered providers, and why would you not – like the reason people are not registered is because they might be providing services that don't really require registration. So if you're, for example, a cleaner or
your lawnmower
or something like that, like to go through the registration process is going to be expensive and not really that beneficial for you, and you can do it without it. And
there's a lot of compliance that's involved that they may not – be able to do or have the time to do or not really interested in doing.
Exactly. And so what I think they're trying to do is streamline the process so that those non-registered providers can actually get some sort of registration. It'll be like a more of a easier kind of registration, but at least then there'll be some sort of control over who's actually working in that space.
Yes.
So that's probably one of the things that will be affecting a lot of people out there. Another thing that they're actually going to do is probably eliminate what we do, which is plan manager role.
Hopefully not for a while.
Yeah, we're hoping that we can help a few people before that happens. And this is not meant to be like tomorrow that will happen, but it is looking into the next couple of years that that will change.
They're looking at a few different roles, aren't they, to combine them into something?
Yeah. Different. I mean, there's still going to be the need for the budgets to be managed and whatever, but it will probably be a slightly different model to what they're looking at. And look, you know, again, having just entered the space, we are noticing that there are some pretty big providers out there, and there are probably some people who ethically shouldn't be providing the same services.
No, not when they've got their finger in other pies that are also related to the NDIS.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you've got a independent plan manager who can make an informed assessment about what's going on, that's very helpful. But if the plan manager is also the person who's paying themselves to be the support coordinator and
or the, a provider in
and
some
the
cases.
Provider, yeah, then surely there's some sort of conflict of interest there.
You would think so.
Yeah, so.
And I guess they don't want it to become a bit of a monopoly market where those really big companies can control all of the different
yeah.
sectors.
I agree, yeah. So, I mean, look, I think it's all got merit and but it will make it a little bit interesting as we go into this new phase of the NDIS. It's not going away, okay, so I don't believe the NDIS is going away. I know a few people said, oh, well, you know, that will disappear. I can't see that happening. But I think that there will be obviously some pretty big changes in the next couple of years. So we'll help you with that, hopefully.
Well, we'll look forward to your report back after the 22nd of March.
Yeah, so probably our next one will be about that. I will definitely be taking lots of notes and trying to understand what's going on. All right, so I guess this is just really an introduction to our new podcast. So what we would like from you is, first of all, if you are listening to this podcast and you're an NDIS provider, we'd love you to share it out with your network. We want to be here to help you, so we want you to tell us what you would like to know about. I have noted down that we are business people, so please don't ask us about caring options. We're not going to be able to provide like the health side of it. We don't have expertise to help on that.
Not at all.
Not at all. But if it's a business question, that's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so if you'd like to ask some burning questions, where do you think would you like us them to send their inquiries to? How about our
hello at opalpm address? That's hello at opalpm.com.au.
Yeah, so if you've got some burning questions, please send them out. Dee and I will try to answer them. You know, our aim is to be inquisitive and to really know what's going on within the NDIS. It is something that is a big space. I've followed it to a certain extent, but now I feel like I really need to dive in, and I think it'll be good for us both to learn. Don't you think so, Dee?
It is. It'd be great. We'd like to help you help your business and for you to help your providers.
Yeah.
Not providers, sorry, your participants.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. If you're a good business, you're doing the best for your participants, and if you're not able to run your business as well as you could, your participants are going to probably inadvertently not be able to get the benefits they could have otherwise, and that's what we're trying to achieve here.
That's right.
So, all right, well, that's probably it for today. Nice short one, but an introduction to what we're going to be doing. And next podcast, when we have our NDIS one, it'll be a big update on what's going on with the NDIS review.
Yes, we will.
Okay, thanks, Dee.
No worries. Thanks, Jo.
And feel free to share us out, and thank you, Joel, for doing our producing our podcast. And I'll be back in your ears on Monday. Thanks. Bye. Money Honey Media would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which this podcast is recorded and produced. We pay our respects to elders both past, present, and future, and to all Aboriginal people who are listening to this podcast.